Welcome to the Sportscast, November 27th, 2018. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on YouTube, Periscope, iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. The Iron Bowl is over. Alabama got through it. They defeated Auburn pretty handily, 52-21. It wasn't much of a match, to be honest. Maybe the first quarter we were second guessing it. But who watched the whole game actually is Justin Riley. Well, welcome to the Sportscast.
Man, glad to be here, especially after a big Iron Bowl victory, the victory that gave us the revenge after the disappointing loss last year at Jordan-Hare that kept us out of our SEC championship appearance.
How would you rate this Iron Bowl? Like, was this a good Iron Bowl, or was this like another snoozer?
Well, to Alabama and Auburn fans, you wouldn't classify it as a snoozer. You wouldn't, diminish it at all. But if you were on the outside looking in, it really didn't have much appeal other than, the first half and a little bit of the second half. It was very entertaining, and Auburn did have Alabama on the ropes. But as you said, it quickly turned for the Tide, and Alabama was able to rattle off several scores that put the Tigers away.
Now, the first quarter...
The value is still there, but it's not quite as strong right now just because Auburn's not at the same level Alabama is.
The first quarter was 7-7. Second quarter, Alabama was up by 3 points. It was 17-14. So, right when halftime happened, how'd you feel?
I was a little bit nervous. I was seeing a lot of miscues on both sides. Auburn was seemingly getting very frustrated, thus penalties and making dumb mistakes. But they quickly rebounded from their mistakes and were causing Alabama fits for the entire half. So it is beginning to make me sweat a little bit. And watching Alabama's body language more so on defense, it looks like Alabama defensively was out of sorts. They were playing nervous and completely out of character. So it did cause a little bit of alarm for me, I'm not going to lie, especially with it being so close. And Auburn was able to pretty much move the ball at will at times. When they got that blocked punt, it definitely got me concerned and paying a little bit closer attention to everything. And then right after that block punt, they were able to capitalize with that trick play, which found Alabama defenders out of position, and they were able to convert that to score pretty easily. Several Alabama miscues led to Auburn's success in the first half. You had some of the same problems that were seen against Citadel reoccurring, mainly players not being in the right position, missing their assignments. So on and so forth, just being overall sloppy. So it really made me believe that this Iron Bowl was going to be a battle. And like I was predicting coming up to the game, that it was going to be a war and be a lot closer than what a lot of the experts were saying.
Tua Tagovailoa threw for 5 touchdown passes, ran for a score. He took over an explosive third quarter. He threw three long touchdown passes. There was one touchdown pass that was really long. I thought, wow, that was the game. The play of the game. And he matched the school record with 5 scoring passes. Do you think Tua had a great game?
He absolutely did. And that play that you're referring to was on the opening offensive series of the second half. He threw a 46-yard bomb to Jerry Jeudy, who was streaking down the sideline. And that was the turning point of the entire game. And it really kind of defeated Auburn's momentum and kind of got them broken a little bit, even though they scored again not too far after that. But Alabama was able to respond with a touchdown pass to Josh Jacobs. But it really kind of set the tone for the rest of the afternoon. Alabama finally got themselves pulled together. The defense was on point. And Tua had a spectacular day and definitely made a case, a stronger case, for his Heisman Trophy pursuits. I know that's not something he's really thinking about, but either way, the way it fell, I mean, he passed for 324 yards and five touchdowns, and like you said, added a score rushing. So he had a spectacular day and definitely had a lot of help from the great cast of receivers of Judy, Waddle, Smith, and Ruggs to help with his calls. Each of them had no less than 70 yards, 70 plus yards receiving, and each of them had touchdowns, Ruggs having two touchdowns. But that offense just really took over, and Tagovailoa's leadership really shone with that offense, and inspired the defense. The defense had a pretty amazing day. Anthony Jennings was just on fire, eight tackles, one sack. He even picked off a pass as well, so he was playing really determined. And can't say enough about what Dylan Moses, LeBron Ray, Raekwon Davis, and well, the whole defense did in that second half. It's amazing to watch. It was really equally amazing to watch Jalen Hurts come off the bench in the fourth quarter. He threw one pass, and it was for a 53-yard touchdown to Jalen Waddle. And what may have been his actual last touchdown in Bryant-Denny Stadiums. He will be graduating in December, graduating earlier, but many speculate he will be transferring out if he decides not to go to the NFL.
Oh, too bad. Jason Stidham had an interesting game. Some say he had a good game. Some say he had a bad game. What is the future of Stidham?
Stidham had an okay game, I believe. He only passed somewhere in the range of 125, 127 yards. And it wasn't because he wasn't trying. He had several of his receivers drop passes where they are open. Matter of fact, he had several receivers that were uncovered due to Alabama miscues that, had they done what they were supposed to do, it could have resulted in a very explosive play. Stidham did everything he possibly could, throwing the ball, even tried to run a little bit. His future is very uncertain. Like I said in a previous cast and others before that, when going into the season, he was projected to possibly go in the first round of this year's upcoming NFL draft. So it's going to be interesting to see what he is going to do, especially with the production numbers not quite being where he had hoped this season.
Here's my takeaway for Auburn. They kept it close until the second half, where few have given the Tigers much chance. Stidham was 13 for 30 for passing for 127 yards with a touchdown and an interception, including some drops and faced heavy pressure. Here's my takeaway for Alabama. They struggled in the first half and dominated in the second, just like against Citadel. They avenged last season's 26-14 loss that shut the Tide out of the SEC championship game. Nick Saban said, "I think the SEC is a very good league. For the team to go undefeated is quite an accomplishment, but it doesn't really mean anything if we don't take advantage of the opportunity we have next week in the SEC championship." What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. Absolutely with that. My takeaway with Alabama was, you know, it's kind of concerning to see the several miscues on the defensive side of the ball that seem to be repeating themselves every week for the past few weeks. And we definitely have got to eliminate those mistakes right now, because if you go into this hot Georgia team, they could really hurt you if you don't correct those things. If you're out of position a couple of plays here and there, they've got the star power that's going to make you pay. A couple of things. It was really scrappy for the majority of the game on both sides. Isaiah Bugs was taken out of the game early. He had a hyperextended knee. An Auburn player dove right for his knee and upon contact did some serious damage. So his availability for this upcoming SEC championship is definitely going to be questioned. Jared Maiden, our backup defensive back, was taken out of the game due to targeting, and he's going to be missing the first half of the SEC championship game. Yes, he is a backup, but he does play a key role in certain packages and is definitely a great cover corner that we'll definitely need to utilize against Georgia's talented receivers.
Yeah, looking forward to Georgia, how do you see this game? I think Georgia is tougher than last year. Are they weaker than last year? How do you view Georgia?
Well, a lot of people have already said or coronated them as being weaker than last year just because they lost a lot of talent to the NFL, and they just name your reason. And I think that Georgia's been hearing that all year, and along with having it on their mind, revenge after that disappointing loss they suffered in the national championship game. And Georgia may not have the star power, I guess, that ESPN and all the other analysts are looking for, but they've got a really good team. They return a lot of people on offense. Matter of fact, I think that offensively they're a lot better. As hard as it is to believe, you know, with the departure of Nick Chubb and Sony Michel, I think with the combination of DeAndre Swift and Elijah Holyfield, their offense is running a lot better and definitely a lot more dangerous. But on the defensive side of the ball, where people were really kind of downplaying them, they're a really solid team. Their secondary is probably one of the better secondaries in the nation, led by DeAndre Baker, who's projected to be in the first round of this upcoming NFL draft. J.R. Reed is another solid a player in that defensive backfield, and then DeAndre Walker and Jonathan Ledbetter are two of the best defensive players at linebacker and defensive end the SEC has. So they're pretty loaded. I don't understand how they can downplay this Georgia team. And of course, Georgia definitely has a distinct advantage over Alabama in the kicking game because Rodrigo Blankenship is the best kicker in the nation and has been for the past couple of seasons. He rarely misses, and doesn't matter where he is on the field, he's going to make it. So clear advantage over Alabama there as they continue to have their kicking woes. But Georgia's a really good team. Yeah, Jake Fromm's not really having a Heisman-type year that a lot of people were trying to push for him to have this season. Quietly, he's got 2,236 yards and 24 touchdowns. But the real strength in this team, like I said, is their running game. Pretty powerful. But don't sleep on the rest of their talent. They've got really good receivers in Mecole Hardman and Riley Ridley. And Ridley should sound familiar to you. He had a really good game in the national championship game last year, but he's also the younger brother of Calvin Ridley of the Atlanta Falcons, former Alabama player. And another dimension they've added to the offense to make them dangerous is Justin Fields. He's got eight touchdowns himself. So this Georgia team is I believe, a much better team and definitely presents more problems this year to this Alabama team than they did this previous year. Some may disagree.
Yeah, this is also to the reminder of to the audience, this will be a rematch of last year's national championship where Alabama defeated in overtime against Georgia 26-23. And this is the same game that we saw the start of Tua Tagovailoa, his college start. So this is a game that I think Georgia is really looking forward to. It should be a good game. Yeah, I mean, people are saying Georgia is weaker than where they were last year. But what are the implications of this game? What if Alabama loses? What happens if Georgia wins? I mean, that fourth spot is looming. It's empty now, especially when Michigan lost against Ohio State. Where does all these variables go for this weekend?
Well, this is a very, very, very important game, probably the most important conference championship game of the weekend because it has the greatest playoff implications. This, to me, is a playoff game. basically you win and you're in. For Georgia, if they lose, they're out completely. For Alabama, they still could possibly get in, but there's doubt. A lot of things are going to have to fall in their in place for them again to get in, but it's going to be much harder for them. So, and I definitely don't want to put it in the hands of fate again, because if you keep doing that, eventually fate's not going to be on your side. So this is a must win for both teams, so that neither can afford to lose.
Now, looking at last week's results, Michigan lost against Ohio State 62-39. Michigan is ranked fourth. Tonight, the college football rankings come out for this past week. Who do you think will get that fourth spot, where things are going to shuffle to?
I mean, it's really hard just going back and forth at looking at both teams, being Oklahoma and Georgia, saying who's really deserving. To be honest with you, I can't adequately assess that until after this weekend where the conference championship is being played. I can't say really one team is better than the other. They're both playing at a very high level. I think Georgia's playing in a slightly better level just because defensively they're not giving up the points that Oklahoma is, and Georgia has been in more control of their games. They've won more decisively, where Oklahoma, a lot of their games have been in doubt until very late, and they've allowed lesser teams to score heavily on them, even teams like Kansas. I'm not including West Virginia in this, because West Virginia clearly is a good team, one of the better offensive teams in the nation. But if I had to give a slight edge right now based on what I just said, I would have to give it to Georgia right now.
So Georgia will get that fourth spot, you think, tonight?
I think they will tonight, yeah.
Yeah, for the time being. Besides that, who is your – I mean, after them, who do you think could get that fourth spot besides Georgia?
Oklahoma. And like I said, I mean, I honestly believe at this point Oklahoma and Georgia, until we play the championship games, it's really a coin toss. But, I mean, matter of fact, I mean, if it was possible, I could say they tie for fourth until this championship situation is sorted out.
Let's go into the other games. What were your thoughts about Texas A&M defeating LSU 74-72? This is not a basketball game. This was actually a football game.
It was, and Texas A&M was one of the most frustrating teams to watch this year. Because at several points, I mean, they've showed up and they've hung with big teams. And they nearly beat Clemson, and they go toe-to-toe with LSU, I believe it was seven overtimes, and managed to beat the Tigers. But then they'll go into games like Mississippi State, for instance, and just lay an egg and just get dominated off the field. It's really frustrating to watch them, because clearly they had the ability to do a lot more and could have really challenged for the West had they shown this kind of power or this kind of ability consistently week after week. But they didn't. And to LSU's credit in this game, they actually were missing seven defensive players in that game. So I think that had a determination on the outcome of the game. And there was definitely a lot of miscues by refs and so on and so forth, but it's probably one of the most entertaining games I watched all season. I was hoping LSU would win just because it makes the victory that Alabama had over them look that much better, but it didn't happen. But it was an entertaining game nonetheless.
What happened to Michigan? You think Michigan choked, or do you think just playing in Ohio State, which is a tough place to play at?
You know, I really don't know how to explain that. Maybe Michigan was not the team that we thought they were. Or maybe Ohio State is much better than what they play. You know, to be honest with you, Ohio State is one of the most frustrating teams to watch. I honestly believe that unless they have a reason to be there, they're not really going to show up. They'll do just enough and coast to get a victory. Because it's very clear, it's not that Ohio State's been bad, I guess, these past several weeks. It just feels like to me they didn't really care. Because it's obvious, because you don't just go from playing very average and barely getting by to dominating your rival, who's coincidentally number four in the nation, to the point they can't do anything. They score 60 plus points. That's not something you just, all of a sudden do. Ohio State clearly is more talented than what they show us every week. And it's just really frustrating to see that. Clearly they're better. And my question is, now that they go into the game against Northwestern, are they going to play motivated and do what they're possibly capable of? Or are they going to go in there and try to coast and do just enough to win?
What is the fate of Urban Meyer?
You know, he's somebody that, you know, it's kind of annoying to kind of watch his daily drama. I've been kind of done with him ever since this whole mess came out in the offseason with his assistant coach, and he really didn't respond in the way that probably was appropriate or to really ease the tensions, as it were, with the fan base as well as the college football nation. And really, I feel like he's not really reliable in a sense that you really don't know if he's going to continue to coach, regardless of what he says, or is he going to fold up camp again and say, you know, it's time for me to move on.
How about Jim Harbaugh? Do you think he had a good season, or you think this is it for him?
Well, I mean, I think as far as a win-loss standpoint, I think he really had a good season. But I think that it's really hindered based on the fact that he fell short again of beating Ohio State. And I think that's really going to be what he is graded on from a college football standpoint and from a fan base standpoint from the Michigan faithful. So even though their record is really good right now, it doesn't feel like it's as good as it looks because of what happened against Ohio State.
Yeah, that's one of those things, those question marks that people are asking. Is he more of an NFL coach? But to be honest, he came close this year. Give him credit. He made it to the top four.
Well, I mean, he did. I'm giving him credit. He had a really good year. But Michigan fans have seen the really good years, but they've never gone to that next level because they haven't done that one thing, and that's beat Ohio State.
Do you believe Auburn's coach might leave?
I think the Auburn faithful are getting really impatient and are getting a little restless just because of the success of Alabama and the fact that they're not competing at the same level. And so they're wanting to be right there with them. So they're getting a little panicked, which I think is ridiculous just because, I mean, he had an off year. He had a younger team. He had some less experience in some key places. I mean, he just lost some really talented players to the NFL and graduation this past year. And it's hard to replace Kerryon Johnson and Cameron Petway and some of the other players they lost. And it's really hard to continue that same success when Jarrett Stidham does not have the weapons that he's accustomed to. But I think too, I mean, if you're not really happy or if you weren't really sure about your coach, then you shouldn't have made that big emotional decision and give him this ridiculous pay extension just because he happened to beat Alabama and Georgia last year. I think that was a dumb decision based on emotion, and it feels like they're going to make another dumb decision based on emotion again to the tune of, I believe, $49 million. To be honest with you, I think he needs to stay. And the Auburn faithful need to calm down just a little bit and, you know, give him another season.
Can you see Mike Leach coming to the SEC?
I don't feel like that he's he's the SEC type, to be honest with you. I don't think that the SEC fan base would embrace him as well as you would want. So I really don't see it. Would it be entertaining? Heck yeah, especially at SEC Media Days, just to see what's going to come out of his mouth next.
That's something we're definitely going to see during the offseason. We're hearing a lot of coaches' rumors leaving, coming. Even like the Ravens coach, Harbaugh, you know, could go to college football. So, but, you know, this is all premature, of course.
Oh, absolutely. Right now, this is just talk to sell papers and to get people to tune in to talk sports talk radio shows and sports talk shows on TV. So I really wouldn't pay attention to half of this, or even less than half, to be honest with you.
When is Black Monday for college football coaches? I know for NFL is the day after the last game of the season, but when's it typically for college football?
Well, it just kind of depends on the situation and how dire the situation is, and I guess how fed up certain fan bases and their decision makers are. Typically, probably after the last game of the season or the championship games are played. But I think it all, like I just said, depends on the how dire the situation is.
Looking back at the college football playoff rankings now, like the hypotheticals, now thinking about it, if Georgia does win this weekend, we could see two SEC teams in the playoffs, right?
Well, I can see, but yes, it's possible it could happen. But I think the decision to put Alabama in is going to be a little bit tougher for the playoff committee, just kind of depending on how everything else falls into place.
I mean, let's.
And to be honest with you, I don't want to have to rely on chance again or fate again, because I think this time it wouldn't honestly fall in our favor. I think Alabama's got to remove all doubt and beat Georgia straight up.
Yeah, you just can't. You can't rely on a loss. You can't just go in there lightly. You gotta win it. You know, but I gotta be honest with you, Justin. You know, looking back, and you know, this is sort of a semi-conclusion of Alabama's football season. This is probably their best season I've seen maybe since 2011.
Well, without question, I think offensively this is the best season we've seen ever in Alabama history. There's nothing that even compares remotely to it. The talent that we have on offense and what they're being allowed to do and what Tagovailoa is doing at a quarterback standpoint that up until now has never been the feature. It's just amazing to see what they've done and how it stacks up to Alabama teams in the past. I mean, there is no comparison offensively. Now, defensively, on the other side, I believe the 2011 season was probably the best defense we've had, close second being the 2016 season, where we fell short in the championship game against Clemson. This defensive team, while they're good, I don't believe they're quite as strong as those two teams that I just mentioned. But yeah, from an offensive standpoint, absolutely best Alabama offensive team ever.
If you had to get one player from the 2011 team to play with this squad, who would you get out? Who'd you pick?
Man, there were just too many good players on that defensive squad to really to pull out, brother.
Just name one.
I had to say, man.
It's a little bit a couple of years back, but I do know you probably Haley have that roster memorized.
Well, I'd have to say either Dante Hightower or Courtney Upshaw.
Wow. Two fantastic players doing well in the NFL, I believe.
Absolutely.
Anything else before game predictions?
No, I got some other thoughts, but we're going to add more to this SEC championship game once we get to that point of the predictions for this game.
Let's start. With predictions. Let's go with the Pac-12, Utah versus Washington at Levi Stadium in Santa Clara.
Well, this is not the Pac-12 championship that everybody is hoping for, especially from a standpoint of we're not going to have a team that wins that goes to the college football playoff. And if you look past that and just look at it from an entertainment standpoint, you really have a good game here. And if you decide not to watch it, I feel like you're going to miss out on something because they're both really good teams. My question, how good is Washington? I know they just upset their rival, Washington State, but that's a rivalry game, and you can soar to higher levels when you're playing against your rival. So my question is it going to be able to carry over this next week against Utah? And I believe their records are identical. Am I correct?
I'll have to double check you on that. Let me double check Pac-12 standings.
Well, it doesn't really matter, but they're kind of similar. But I think it's gonna be a very, very entertaining game. I believe that Washington, though, they have the edge on offense with Browning and Gaskin. Matter of fact, I think having Gaskin is going to be the difference maker, and I think that Washington, through him carrying the load, is going to win.
You are correct. They do have the same overall record.
Okay. So, yeah, it's going to be a very good game.
Let's go to the Big 12, Texas versus Oklahoma at the AT&T Stadium in Dallas.
Definitely going to be an exciting game to watch. Playoff implications abound. Again, Oklahoma, the win, and they're in. Texas, there's even some talk, depending on what chaos may happen, could possibly sneak up. I mean, the chances are remote, and to be honest with you, I think so remote that it shouldn't even be talked about. But it's going to be a good game. Texas got the better of Oklahoma earlier in the season, but even though Texas has improved, I believe this Oklahoma team has improved even more. Just not on the defensive side of the ball. It's going to be interesting to watch. Kyler Murray is having an outstanding year. He's got 3,674 yards passing, 37 touchdowns. I forgot the numbers that he has running the ball. They're insane. We'll just go with that. His feature player is Marquise Brown. If that name kind of rings a bell, it should. His cousin is Antonio Brown, all-pro receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's got 1,264 yards receiving and 10 touchdowns. And you see, on Texas side, Sam Ellinger is one of the better quarterbacks in the nation. Not quite the numbers you see from Kyler Murray, but he's a very consistent quarterback, very reliable quarterback, has a great receiver and little Jordan Humphrey, and always exciting to watch, especially against the lack of defense that the Big 12 boasts, definitely Oklahoma boasts. So I think that Ellinger and Humphrey are going to have a big game. Say, OU is scoring at 50.3 points per game, whereas Texas is only putting up 31.7. But Texas, though, from a defensive standpoint, is doing somewhat better, or significantly better than Oklahoma. They're only allowing 25 points per game, whereas Oklahoma is allowing 30-plus, and not to mention the yards they're giving up, too. However, I believe that this time Oklahoma is going to come in there and with revenge on their mind, and they're not going to be caught napping again. And I think they are going to beat Texas. I think it will be somewhat close for the early part of the game, but I think that Oklahoma is just going to win in a dominant fashion.
I believe so. I think Oklahoma really has to win this game, and I think they're far superior than Texas. Let's go ACC, Clemson versus Pittsburgh at the Bank of America in Charlotte.
Well, not quite the high-caliber game that you want out of a conference championship. ACC is really down this year. So the Coastal Conference champion being Pittsburgh really wasn't that impressive this year. They had a decent season. However, nothing like the likes of Clemson. To be honest with you, it's not going to be close. I think Clemson's going to win and win convincingly.
Clemson wins. ACC overall, did you think ACC was let down this year?
Absolutely. I think going into the season, they had some teams that on paper were really set up to do very well. However, as soon as kickoff hit, that was not the case. Disappointments from Florida State, huge disappointments from Louisville. I mean, they just pretty much disappeared off the face of the earth. However, it was exciting to see Syracuse get to the level that they're at right now, really promising going forward for their future. It's really nice to see them back as one of the better teams in college football because historically they're usually a pretty good team. NC State at times showed that they would be possibly one of the more dominant teams in the ACC, only to let down. Duke showed flashes but wasn't really consistent, had a decent season but really didn't get to that next level. Virginia Tech just laid a complete egg. So, this season really was disappointing for the ACC.
Let's move on to the Big Ten, Northwestern versus Ohio State at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Going back to what I said earlier, my question is, what Ohio State team is going to show up? Are they going to show up motivated and ready to play with a point to prove that they're one of the best teams in the nation? You know, are they going to do like what they did some seasons back when they won the national championship and come to the conference championship and just blow the doors off of Northwestern? Or are we going to have the Ohio State pre-Michigan where they come in there just really lackluster and just kind of coast and do just enough to perhaps eke out a victory? That's a big question to me. Because if they play to their highest capability, they should beat Northwestern convincingly. Northwestern's a very good team. Don't get me wrong. They have one of the better quarterbacks in the conference. They're going against Clayton Thorson. And his last name alone is just awesome and should command respect all over. I mean, come on, Thorson. I mean, if he throws a ball, is lightning going to come from the sky from Asgard and deliver it to their receivers promptly? I don't know. We'll see.
That's a good NFL game as well.
Absolutely. He may be in the NFL. I think he's a really underrated quarterback, not really getting the hype or the promotion he could be because he's playing for Northwestern.
Except here at the SportsCast.
Except here at the SportsCast. This is the Clayton Thorson promo show. Okay, I'm off that bandwagon.
Okay.
Now, on the other side of the other side there, Dwayne Haskins, he's up for the Heisman. He's got over 4,000 yards passing, 42 touchdowns passing, and you know they're averaging 54 points a game. So they definitely have the capability. I just want to know what team is going to show. I think either way, Ohio State's going to win. The margin, I couldn't tell you because I don't know what Ohio State team will show up.
And Northwestern, I mean, they're ranked 19th in the AP poll, so you would think Ohio State would win.
Well, they'll win, but, I mean, how difficult is Ohio State going to make this game for themselves?
True.
And if they sit, and I will be honest with you, Northwestern is good enough to where if you sit there and fool around with them, they could beat Purdue and upset you.
And that is football. It has so much parity in it. Finally, the SEC Championship, the biggest game of the weekend, according to Justin, Alabama versus Georgia at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, not the Dome, in Atlanta.
Man, I can't think of a bigger SEC Championship game since, I believe, Alabama faced Georgia in, back when we won the national championship with A.J. McCarron. That came to a dramatic end, and the game was in doubt until the very end, where the winner advanced to the national championship. Same kind of situation, both fighting for a playoff spot. Bama's very, very capable of scoring, averaging 49 points per game, but so is Georgia, who's averaging 40 points per game. Alabama's only allowing 13.8 points per game. Georgia's is kind of right there with them. They're only allowing 17.2. A little bit of disparity on the yards per game. Alabama's putting up 538 to Georgia's 480. This is going to be a very, very good game. And a couple of things that are coming out in Alabama's favor. I don't know if you've heard this, but superstar linebacker Terrell Lewis, who has been out the entire season because of an injury, has returned to practice.
Wow.
And many of you remember his heroics against Clemson this past playoff, as well as Georgia this past championship game. Question is, for Alabama, just what health level is Terrell right now? If he's 90%, he's going to be a very, very key factor for Alabama's defensive success. But another question is, offensively, Alex Leatherwood and Deontay Brown on the offensive line, are they back to full strength again? I mentioned earlier in a previous podcast they had some issues with their ankle. That's Leatherwood and Brown had turf toe. Another question for Alabama is, how healthy is Isaiah Bugs? He had a hyperextended knee sustained in the Auburn game. So how strong is he going to be for this game? We're not really sure. Alabama has been playing a lot better defensively. The secondary's playing a lot better. And there's also been hints that Trayvon Diggs, star cornerback, who had broken his foot earlier in the season, could possibly play. I can't get confirmation on that just yet, but there have been hints of it. And again, if he is able to go, you know, how good is he going to be able to play? We don't know. But George, this is probably one of the better teams offensively that Georgia has boasted here as of late. And I don't care what analysts say. This team, to me, I feel, is better than last year. They might not have some marquee names on the defensive side of the ball like they had last year, but they're still doing very, very good. And like I said, that backfield is quite amazing with Swift and Holyfield. And Georgia right now is playing the best ball of their life. And they're getting hot at the right time. So this isn't going to be Alabama jumping out to a 21-0 lead in the first quarter. This isn't going to be some runaway game. And if it is, I'll be very shocked. But Alabama, like I mentioned earlier, has got to avoid the miscues. They've got to avoid being lazy. They got to avoid missing assignments and being out of position. Because like I said, if you do that against this Georgia team, they are going to make you pay. And so we're going to have to tighten things up, which I'm sure Saban has thoroughly emphasized this week. Against Georgia, like I said, they have the better offensive team than we faced in several weeks. So we are going to have to put points up on the board to match what they do. But I've been going back and forth with this just because, you know, I honestly believe that Georgia has a shot and could conceivably beat Alabama. I know everybody's about to set fire to everything and go nuts because I said that, even Alabama Nation, and they're going to claim that I'm not a true fan. How can you say that? Hey, I pay 5.5 years out of state tuition. I can say what I want. It's a lot of money. However, at the end of the day, if Alabama plays their best ball and they do what they're capable of, I believe that Alabama will win the SEC championship by a small margin.
And what's your score line?
Score line. Give me a minute here. Alabama 35, Georgia 28.
Wow, that's a pretty pretty close margin. I have it Alabama 31, Georgia 20.
I like yours better, but
a little bit more of a breathing room.
A little bit more breathing room there.
And real quick, what do you think about DeAndre Baker from Georgia? You think he's pretty good?
He's solid, brother. There's not many people who can do anything against him. He very rarely is he made to look bad. Very rarely is he caught out of position. He's an excellent leader, and he is the anchor to that Georgia secondary. Probably the best cornerback in the nation, even better than Greedy Williams.
Interesting saying. SEC championship, great weekend. Not just the SEC championship. You got a few other championships to look at. I think the Texas-Oklahoma game might be the second best championship game this weekend.
Yeah, I think it'll be the most entertaining one just because of the amount of points that are probably going to be scored.
It's going to be a good weekend. It feels like Alabama is safe no matter what happens. If they lose, they're still in.
I'm not going to rely on that. I'm not going to count on that, brother. Win and remove all doubt. That's going to be my motto for this game.
Yeah, I agree. You can't rely on someone else's hands, you know. And who knows who's in that committee? So,
well, exactly. And I think, to be honest with you, the committee, as well as the rest of the college football nation, is a little Alabama fatigued.
Yeah,
I know Ty Turner is, but so don't leave it to them to make the decision. And having two SEC teams in again is going to be hard for them to do. To be honest with you, even though they might be deserving, I think it's going to be hard for them to put two SEC teams in it again.
And also, quick update: Jalen Hurts did play this past weekend against Auburn. He had 53 yards. You think he's okay?
I think he is. Just how good he is running, not really sure. He did run the ball for one time. Looked a little bit hesitant, didn't really run with confidence like he normally does. But I just think that's because he's been off due to that injury for so long. And that just takes a little time to get your confidence back. But he is back.
And Tuaal looked pretty good on Saturday as well.
Absolutely.
He looks healthy.
He does look very healthy. As a matter of fact, he took that knee brace off and seems to be playing a lot better since he did that. As a matter of fact, he said himself that that knee brace did limit his mobility and his ability to do things. And so he took it off, and he's playing a lot better.
And finally, would you consider the Creed movies part of the Rocky saga?
Yeah, absolutely, man. It fits perfectly with the storyline, and matter of fact, it honors the original movies and does nothing to take away. It's a great, great addition to the series.
Well, as we speak, after this show, the College Football Playoff Committee will announce their final rankings before the conference championship games. And Justin, how can people reach you? Talk about it. Talk about this weekend, or just to critique your commentary. How can people reach you?
Really easily, man. Email still works. 12-1 training, that's number 12-1 spelled out, training at gmail.com. Find me on social media. Facebook page is /12-1 training. On Twitter and Instagram at 12-1 training. So please, by all means, contact me in any of those forums, whether it's about football, fitness, or whatever else you can come up with. You know, I'm here.
Yes, and by the way, we are back on Facebook Live, so hit the notifications. If you're a Facebook lover and you can only see things on Facebook, hit the notifications so you could make sure you see the sportscast next time around. And this weekend, are you feeling more nervous this weekend or last weekend?
This weekend for sure. There's no question.
Well, and don't forget to subscribe on our other channels, YouTube, Periscope, iTunes. And iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Justin, any final words?
Like I said earlier, remove all doubt, win. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
Yes, sir. Thank you.